Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. It's to be found on page 1029 of the Bible if you wish to follow it, and it commences at verse 41 of chapter 2. The boy Jesus at the temple. Every year his parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the feast according to the custom. After the feast was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ.
Well, it's lovely to be here. I think the last time I preached I was with you as well, so it's lovely to be back here this morning, and I hope you've all had a lovely Christmas. Well, we've come this morning to a story that I think is quite traditional to hear at this time of year, and it's the only story that we have of Jesus' childhood. It's the only time we hear Jesus speaking as a child, and it only occurs in the Gospel of Luke. And it's quite a contrast, isn't it, to the Christmas stories that we've been concentrating on over the last few weeks. Although perhaps there is a bit of a hint of Home Alone in there. The boy whose parents lose him when they go on holiday. I wonder if on reading it you were like me and found that it raised quite a lot of questions. And I'm going to come up with a few of those as we go along. But the title of the talk today, as we've heard, is Amazed and Thankful. And so I want to start off by asking you, whose amazement do you most identify with in this story? So do you identify with the teachers and the onlookers in the temple, amazed at this boy, at this person, at his wisdom, at the questions he asks? Is that you, when you read the Bible, you're just amazed at this person that you find? Am I better using this microphone, Peter? No? Okay. So do you identify with them? Do you identify with the amazement that Mary and Joseph felt when, after anxiously searching for their boy, they found him not lost, not in a panic, but sitting with composure in the temple, surprised at their alarm? You know, we lost one of our children once on the beach when they were little. It was only probably about 10 or 20 minutes before we found her. It felt like a very long time, so I can really identify with the panic they must have felt for 3 days, not knowing where Jesus was. So maybe you would identify with them. Do you identify with Jesus' surprise, his amazement that they were worried? Perhaps you too can get so wrapped up and so involved and so sort of lose the track of time when you're doing something you're passionate about that you can identify with him. I have to admit, I find that a bit difficult. He doesn't really seem to understand their panic and fear, does he? But then he was only 12. Perhaps we have to cut him a bit of slack, because we know children don't always quite react the way that we might as adults. So in this story we have three different perceptions, three different perspectives of Jesus and what he was doing. And I think each one of those will resonate with each of us to a greater or lesser extent, and maybe that will change over time. So let's look at these three perceptions in a little bit more detail. So first of all, like the teachers in the temple and like those onlookers, we can value wisdom and the head knowledge that we can gain of God and the scriptures. And so we can look at Jesus, we can perceive Jesus as somebody who we can learn from, who can we learn about, who's our great teacher, who can illuminate the world around us, teach us about ourselves and about his Father and ours. And that perspective is something that's certainly important to me, and maybe it is to you too. You know, one of the things I really enjoy about preaching is that I have to get stuck into the passage and really read it and think about it and pray about it and try and understand it. And I have to confess I'm a bit lazy about doing that sometimes at other times. I was really blessed when I was a young Christian to get involved with a group at university who emphasised the importance of Bible study, the importance of quiet times. I can remember the excitement of opening my Bible and finding out new things about this wonderful person who I put my faith in. And I still do. And I believe that the knowledge that I gained then as a young Christian and have continued to gain over the years, you can sort of bank it. You can put it away, and when times get tough or you've got those questions, you can draw on that knowledge that you have gained. So looking to Jesus as that source of wisdom, a source of head knowledge, can be really valuable. And if you don't have that habit, I can't commend it to you too strongly. It's so important. Why else would Jesus have learned to teach and debate and ask questions if he didn't want us to engage with the scriptures? So that's our first perspective. The second perspective we see in this passage is, like Mary and Joseph, we can look at Jesus in terms of that close personal relationship, that enjoyment of sense of family that we can have. And for me, that promise that we read in Romans 8 and elsewhere, that Christ enables us to be called children of God, is one of the great hopes of the Christian faith. That promise that we are part of a worldwide community reaching through the ages. And, you know, again, at tough times in our lives, that can sustain and comfort us, that we have that relationship, that promise that Jesus doesn't leave or abandon us, that we have our security in our identity in Christ. So that perspective of Jesus as family member and friend is also in this story and can be very important to us, perhaps more important at some times than others in our journey. And the third perspective I think we see in this story is that of Jesus himself, focused on the worship of God above all else. For him, being in the temple is about discovering God's purpose for his life and equipping himself to carry it out. We see from his identifying it as my Father's house, he already has a clear sense of who he is. But even Jesus, as a human, had to learn and work out how to carry out that mission. We know from the story that Mary and Joseph habitually went to the temple every year. We don't know if Jesus always went with them. It doesn't say. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. Maybe as he was approaching that time of Jewish manhood, They took him along. Maybe this was the first time. We just don't know. But what a great time for him to have that opportunity to go to the temple and to hear the most famous teachers in the land. Perhaps it was a bit like for us when we go to spring harvest or new wine and get that refreshment and teaching. I wonder, was it an accident that he stayed on in Jerusalem? Or was it a conscious decision? That awareness of his need to learn all that he could. How much do we have that attitude, I wonder? Do we view our time in church as a duty, a habit, a chance to catch up with our friends? Or is it also a way for us to be built up for God's service? And how can we develop that sense of worship and spending time in God's presence? We've had this chance that morning to dwell for a moment in the Word, to ask the Spirit to highlight words for us. Perhaps for some of us it's coming to the deeper service. Others might like to go on short retreats. But what helps us to grow in our worship life in the way that Jesus did? So three perspectives. Jesus as a source of wisdom, Jesus as friend and family, and Jesus pointing us to worship and God. All of them valid, all of them valuable, but I think we need to keep them in balance. Too much focus on learning and head knowledge can lead to a dry academic approach. You know, another question I have is, why did none of the teachers ask Jesus why he was there on his own? Where did he go the nights when he was on his own? Why did none of them say, what are you doing? Where are you going? Where are your parents? Perhaps they were so focused on him as this sort of child prodigy that they didn't really focus on him as a real person. Some of us perhaps have never moved from a head knowledge of Jesus to really knowing him. Perhaps for some of us we've come a bit dry and have forgotten that relationship. And we have those opportunities, things like the Alpha course and other opportunities to reconnect and explore beyond the knowledge to the real person. I also think that, of course, our relationship with Jesus is so precious, but is there a danger that it can tip over into selfishness, a focus on what Jesus is doing for us, how he makes us feel? Do we, perhaps like Mary, get annoyed when Jesus doesn't do what we want? He doesn't behave as we expect. When we head off in a direction that we've decided on and then suddenly discover that he doesn't seem to be with us. Do we also need to remember who Jesus is and why he came? And sometimes instead of expecting him to join us, to join him in the temple. Sadly, of course, perspectives can change. The teachers who were amazed at the useful Jesus and his precocious understanding were the same teachers who were offended and hostile when he grew up. And Jesus pointed out just how dry their head knowledge was, with its sometimes unthinking adherence to the law and a lack of true understanding of God. And some of those were amongst those who plotted against him. So their perspective changed, perhaps for the worst. Mary's perspective also changed, as she was, I think, brought to see that Jesus was setting out on his own agenda as laid down by God, and he was beginning to move away from her direct influence and guidance. And she accepted this, as I believe all of us who are parents have to do as our children grow up. So that by the time Jesus started his ministry at the wedding in Cana, she was understanding and supportive of his role. So how did Mary make the shift? How did she understand this? Well, we've already mentioned that importance of not seeing faith as a dry academic study, but having that real relationship with Jesus. But we also see in the last few verses that we didn't have read that Mary pondered and treasured the events that happened. His mother treasured all these things in her heart. That implies they were precious to her, even though it must have been such a traumatic experience. And we see the same thing at the birth of Jesus. We're told that in verse 19 of Luke 2, Mary treasured all these things in her heart and pondered them. Another translation says she kept on thinking about all that had happened. And I believe that as she did that, as she thought about what had happened and asked God to explain it to her, understanding and acceptance came, her perspective changed from how Jesus fitted into her life to how he was going to fit into the lives of all people. And so I suppose a question for me is, when we experience things, either positive or difficult, do we take the time to reflect and learn from them in the way that Dave has done, if those of you who heard his sermon on Christmas Eve, learning and positive outcomes coming out of sometimes dark times? And part of her pondering must have been that sense of thankfulness that Jesus has been found safe. And we're told in 1 Thessalonians to give thanks in all circumstances. You know, this isn't empty fatalism, is it? It's hope and belief that God can use all things for good. So I've covered a lot, I feel. But Christmas and the New Year is a good time for pondering and reflecting like Mary. So maybe you'd like to just think about this over the next period. Do you need to shift the balance from head knowledge or perhaps inappropriate expectations of Jesus to a new, a renewed, or a deeper focus on worshipping God and accepting his agenda for your life? So do you and I need to rethink the balance of our perspective? And to do that, what can we think of that we've gone through that we can learn from? And what can we thank God for? Because no matter how dark or how difficult our personal circumstances, or how happy and blessed we might feel at present, we can all give thanks for the Christmas baby who grew up to seek God's will, to equip himself for ministry, and to make all who wish for it to be part of his heavenly kingdom. So I wish you all a very happy Christmas and a peaceful and reflective New Year.